appreciate that. Special. I don't know why more of you don't sing a special. I know why one of us doesn't, but some of the rest of you could, if you would, be a blessing. Let's open our Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 45. I have four truths that I want to emphasize to us tonight from this chapter. I want to bring us up to where we are at this place. Joseph, of course, is the prime minister of Egypt. His 11 brothers are back in his presence at this time. We know how that he had his servants put that cup in the sack of Benjamin. And when his 11 brothers left Egypt on the way back to Canaan, back to their father, he sent his servants to apprehend them, and they found Joseph's cup in the bag of Benjamin. And so they all had to come back. He only said one of them had to come back, but they all returned. If you notice in verse 13 of chapter 44, we read, "Then they rent their clothes and laid at every man his ass and returned to the city." Don't you know that was a sad trip back? They loaded down their donkeys with the corn that they had bought, their sacks, and headed back to face Joseph. What a sad trip that was. And we began tonight when the scripture here says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself." The first truth I want us to look at tonight is how that Joseph revealed his true identity to his brothers in the first four verses. "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.' And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt.'" His brothers stood before him at this time, and they only knew him, that is, they only knew Joseph as the ruler of Egypt, and a very stern ruler at that. But he reveals himself as their brother. And by weeping, we see that he reveals himself not only as their brother, but as a kind and caring brother. You know, at the first reading of this history, Joseph's conduct toward his brethren might not be clear, might seem somewhat strange. Why he did not reveal himself to them when they first came, when the ten first came to buy corn? Why he recognized them, they didn't recognize him. Why did he not reveal himself immediately? Why did he charge them with being spies and keep one of the brothers, Simeon, there as a hostage? And why did he insist that they bring Benjamin back with them if they were ever to buy corn again in Egypt? Now, all of his actions were to learn the true state of his ten brothers. Were they still the same men, the same hard-hearted men that they had been so many years before when by their actions they sold Joseph away from his father and he was brought down into Egypt? Our chapter begins with the word "then." Then Joseph could not refrain himself. When was it when Joseph could not refrain himself? It was when he heard the words of Judah, his brother. We're not going to read all of Judah's words, but notice just these few, beginning with verse 31 of chapter 44. It shall come to pass, these are the words of Judah. Remember, Joseph said that he would keep Benjamin there to be his servant because he had stolen from him. And Judah comes near. Judah had been a surety, was a surety for his brother. And Judah says, it shall come to pass when he seeth, that is, when my father Jacob, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants, that is, he and along with his brother, shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety, Judah speaking of himself, he became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now, therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant, let me abide as your slave instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. And let the lad, let Benjamin go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. Is this the same man? Look back with me at his words, the words of Judah in chapter 37. Is this the same man speaking that spoke these words so many years before when Joseph was put into the pit? Is this the same man? Chapter 37 and verse 26, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Does he show any concern for his father at this time? His father Jacob loved Joseph every bit as much as at this time as he did now that he loved Benjamin when Judah is speaking to Joseph there in Egypt. Is this the same man? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. What a hard-hearted, uncaring word came out of the mouth of Judah at this time. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren, not only Judah, but they all agreed, they were all content. It was Judah's voice who was now beseeching Joseph, let me remain a bondman, but don't keep Benjamin. Because just as sure as you do, when we go home, and Jacob, our father, your servant, when he sees that Benjamin is not with us, it'll kill him. He will die. What do we see here? I believe that we see repentance, don't you? I believe that we see repentance on his part, and not only Judah, but on the part of his other brothers as well. For they all had offered to remain slaves. If you look back in chapter 44 and verse 16, and Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. I believe that what we see here is repentance on the part of his brothers. And I'm thankful tonight for repentance. And I know you are as well, if you are a child of God. Repentance is a gift of God. It always accompanies faith. When a person believes in Christ, he turns away from his sin, away from his thoughts, And when a person turns away from his thoughts, away from his sins, he turns to Christ. You cannot have one without the other. And it would be difficult to tell which is first. Sometimes you hear preachers and they preach as though a person had to repent and confess all their sins, name all their sins. First of all, you couldn't do it. You never could do it to begin with. And then after you've repented enough, then you believe. No. The scripture says they looked upon him whom they had pierced and they wept. Faith. Let me see if I can remember this. The tear of repentance drops from the eye of faith. I think it was Philip Henry who said that. The tear of repentance drops from the eye of faith. They come together. If you believe tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have turned. You've changed your mind about God and about sin and about Christ and about yourself. And if you've changed your mind about those you've turned to Christ, you have believed in him. And I'm thankful for repentance. Amen. Repentance is a gift, and what a blessing it is that the Lord Jesus, he gives us repentance. The scripture says he is exalted a prince and a savior for to give repentance unto Israel. That's the reason preachers like myself, we admonish people to come to Christ. You say, well, I don't feel any repentance. Well, look to Christ for repentance. Look to Christ for everything. Amen. Faith, yes, look to Christ. You say, I have no faith. Well, where's that faith going to come from? From Christ. Where's that repentance going to come from? From Christ. Joseph revealed his true identity to his brothers. He said, I'm Joseph, your brother. And that's an truth about salvation. Salvation doesn't come by decision. It comes by revelation. The Lord Jesus reveals himself unto his people. Just as Joseph revealed himself, I'm Joseph, your brother. So Christ reveals himself unto us as our brother. He's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He came into this world. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is the eternal Son of God. He's our brother. And not only is he our brother, but he's our brother that he might be our kinsman redeemer. That he might have the right to redeem us. He had to be kin to us. To redeem someone, you had to be kin to that person. Lord Jesus Christ became our brother that he might redeem us. There's a couple of things I want to point out before we move on, but that word then, Joseph could not refrain himself. He could not refrain himself. There was a necessity. He felt a necessity. I can't do this any longer. I've got to reveal who I am. And that would just remind us in a very small way that the Lord Jesus Christ, he must needs go through Samaria. You see what I'm saying? There are those in this world. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this flock, them also I must bring. There's a necessity that Christ reveal himself to each and every one of those whom the Father had given him. And the fact that Joseph was alone, notice in verse 1 it said, and there stood no man with him when Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And I cannot help but remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, at first there appeared with the Lord Jesus as he was transfigured. There appeared Moses and Elijah, but then the scripture says they saw Jesus only. Moses, representative of the law, Elijah, representative of the prophets, but we must see Jesus only. In Christ alone. That song you just sang, Ivan, in Christ alone. Amen. So that's the first thing I wanted to mention to us. Joseph reveals his true identity. Now, second, we see in this history of Joseph a great help to all of us in the matter of forgiveness, verses 5 through 8. Now, therefore, Joseph speaking to his brothers, now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. His brothers had done him wrong, a great injustice, we would say. They had greatly offended him, but you notice he forgives them. He shows no unforgiving spirit whatsoever when he revealed himself to his brothers. What was it that enabled Joseph to have such a spirit of forgiving? And what is it that will help you and me to forgive others? And it's simply this: he believed firmly in God's sovereignty. No doubt they had done him wrong. They had done an evil unto him. But Joseph saw that God is clearly, absolutely in control of all things. Yes, even those things that we call bad, even those things that we call evil. Notice he says there in that first verse, verse 5, you sold me. Yes, you did. You sold me, but God sent me. You sold me, but God sent me. This reminds me of Peter's statement on the day of Pentecost, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. But the point I'm making is that it will help us when we need to forgive others. Someone has done us some wrong or said something about us. It will help us to remember that they could not have done that, they could not have said that, whatever it was, without God's permission. That all things are ordained of God. Whatever it is. You know, one of the spots, S-P-O-T-S, one of the spots, one of the distinguishing marks of God's people is that we forgive others as we have been forgiven for Christ's sake. He could forgive because he knew that ultimately it was God who had sent him there, even though they had their part, but they were only working out God's plan. And notice also, I noticed this past week when he said, be not grieved. Verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. And I thought about the fact that most children of God, we've got things in our past that still grieve us and cause us to be angry with ourselves. Now, you may not, but here's somebody who does. But don't be angry with yourselves. You say, well, I've had people say, I just wish the Lord had saved me when I was a young person. But he didn't. But he didn't. In his providence and in his purpose, it was to save you at the time, the age, whatever it was, when he saved you. And yes, it would be, we look at it, would have been a great blessing to have been saved, to have been truly born of the Spirit of God at a young age like some people are. And if you are one of those, God, be thankful for it. Because you won't have the memories that some people have. You won't make the mistakes that some people who are saved live with. But don't be grieved with yourself. Don't be angry with yourself. God forgave you. Now forgive yourself. Now forgive yourself. Because God not only has forgiven you, but He has said He will never remember it against you again. Don't be grieved with yourself. Be angry with yourself. You were saved at the exact time that God had determined from before the foundation of the world, if you are saved tonight. There was a time when He passed by, and you were like that infant cast out in Ezekiel chapter 16, to the loathing of yourself, not washed, not suckled, not cared for. And He passed by, and He said, it's a time of love. It's a time to demonstrate My love. Live. Live. And He gave you life. Here's the third thing. Joseph sends his brother to fetch his father in verses 9 through 13. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen. And you shall haste and bring down my father here. Fetching grace. You know, there's a truth that the theologians call irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. There's a general call where the gospel goes out, and everyone who is under the sound of the gospel is told to believe. But there is an irresistible call that goes along with the gospel when God the Holy Spirit calls His chosen people. There's a time of love, as I said just a moment ago. I remember the first time I heard a preacher refer to this as fetching grace, Brother Jack Shanks. He was preaching on Mephibosheth. And that's the word in our Bible when David said fetching. Is there any yet of the household of Jonathan that I may show him mercy? He'd made a covenant with Jonathan to show mercy to his seed. Is there any of them left? Oh, yeah. There's one. There's one over there in the house of no bread, Lodibar. And he's lame on both his legs. And he became lame by fall. What a picture, right? By the fall, we too became lame, sinners, unable to do the will of God. But the king says, because there was a covenant between him and Mephibosheth's father, fetching. Yeah. Fetching grace. He said, well, maybe he wouldn't want to come. Listen, this was the word of the king. The king said, fetch him. The Lord Jesus Christ calls his sheep. He said, I know my sheep, and I call them by name, and they follow me. Fetch him. And the first thing that Mephibosheth said, I believe, need to check this, why would you consider such a dead dog as I am? Mephibosheth, you're going to eat. Put those lame legs under the table. You're going to eat at my table for the rest of your life. Grace, right? Grace. Irresistible grace. Joseph says, go get my father. Fetch him. Bring him here. And notice in what he said, there's three things here. There's three points. This is the gospel. The first thing he said, I want you to tell my father who I am. Don't just tell him Joseph's down there. You tell him who I am. I'm the Lord. See that, if you will, again in verse 9. Make haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. What did Peter say? God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. You tell him, first of all, that I'm Lord over all Egypt. We're not preaching some wannabe Savior. We're not preaching some pygmy God. We're preaching him, the Lord willing we are, who is Lord of lords and King of kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You tell him, you tell my father that I'm Lord. And number two, you tell him, notice in verse 12, I'll nourish him. Every need that he has, every need, where I'll take care of it. That's the kind of Savior that the Lord Jesus Christ is, isn't it? Yeah. Every need that we have, he gives us. He is, really. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's our propitiation. I mean, we could just go on and on and on. He's everything. Christ is all and in all. I'll nourish him. Every need a sinner has is found in Christ and only in Christ. And the third thing he told them in verse 13, you tell him of all my glory. You tell him of all my glory. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. That's preaching the gospel, isn't it? Telling sinners of the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ. That in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. One last thing before I close. Joseph gave his brothers some very good and very needed advice for all, for his brothers, yes, and for all believers. If you look down in verse 24, they're going back to Canaan to fetch their dad. And Joseph has supplied them wagons and everything they would need for the trip to transport Jacob and all of his children, his children's children, back down into Egypt. Now, Joseph says, see that you fall not out by the way. You've got everything here now, surely. But knowing human nature like he did and like we do, see that you fall not out by the way. You know, do brothers need this advice? Well, these brothers did. Do Christian brothers need this advice? Of course. Of course we do. We come from different backgrounds. A church is made up of individuals from different backgrounds. And, you know, there can be misunderstandings, and so easily you can hurt someone's feelings and never mean to do it. Especially as a preacher, you can do things like that. But don't fall out. Exercise grace one toward the other. We all need forgiveness, don't we? We all need help. We all need mercy. Don't fall out, Joseph said. Verse 24, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that you fall not out, by the way. Don't let some little trivial thing upset the peace of God's house. Paul wrote to the church, was it Philippi, and he named those two women in particular, and he said, be of the same mind. Be of the same mind. And what mind is this? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is the mind of Christ. And what was the mind of Christ? He humbled himself. He became a servant. I pray the Lord would bless this word for all of us, to all of us here tonight. I'm going to ask.